Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You guys can be seated if you want to. Are y'all free? We got any free people in here for real? Seriously? All right, good. Because you know what? If you're not free, that means you're wrapped up in bondage. And the Bible says that who the Son is set free is free indeed. There's several things I want to talk about this morning, but a couple of nights ago, actually it was like last week, I was getting ready to go to bed, and all of a sudden these words came to me very strongly. And the words were, "Don't borrow from tomorrow." I was like, huh? Okay. Don't borrow from tomorrow. And you know why I believe those words came to me? Because I had been worried a little bit about the future. Am I alone? Does anybody else think about the future? I mean, we're surrounded by newscasts. We're surrounded by people who will walk up to you and randomly tell you things that you didn't never ask them to tell you. And did you hear that, you know, the economy is going to do this? Did you hear this? Did you hear that? And it'll bring a little bit of fear into you if you're not careful. And you can start worrying. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. Has anybody worried any this week? All right, so I'm in the right place. Matthew 6:25, and I've asked Brother Buddy, and he's worked with, and you know, I want to thank Brother Buddy for all he's done to help me. I tell you, last week that presentation, the tribute, the 9/11 tribute, he did all that. He did it from scratch, and I appreciate that. I tell you, he put a lot of work on that, and I appreciate it. Matthew 6:25, you got it? Yay! See what I'm talking about? All right, this is Jesus talking here. He said, "Therefore I tell you," what? Say it again. Say it one more time. And who's saying this? All right. Make sure we're all here. Okay, now, "Therefore I tell you," Jesus is saying, "do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Someone said one time, there's something they've noticed about birds. They sing, and their singing brings glory to God. Jesus tells us that the Father feeds the birds. Have you ever noticed how he does it? He provides food as the birds go around looking for it. The birds don't just stand in one place all day waiting for the food to come to them. You know, we see them lined up on, it always amazes me. I'm wondering what they're thinking when I drive down the road and I see them all on a line, a telephone line, you know, there's like 20 of them. And I'm like, are they up there talking? Or, you know, it's probably just me, but, you know, do you ever wonder that? Like, are they communicating? Are they talking about the new car? Are they talking about that new Equinox that just drove by? You know, so, but they're going around, they're singing, but they have to go searching for their food. But if you ever notice, they sing while they're searching. We could learn from the birds. Well, and then also, somebody made the suggestion, I don't know, I'm not saying this is concrete, but at verse 26, someone made the mention that Jesus tells us to be bird watchers because he said, look at the birds. So go grab you a pair of binoculars if you want to, and you can become a bird watcher because you will learn a lot from them. And verse 27 says, who of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? All right, no, we'll just move right along. No, it's, you know what? It's really not just them. It's me too. We all do. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, now see, that's how you take worrying right there. It's one thing to have it running through your mind, but when you start saying it, now you have put it out there, and there's life and death in the power of your words. So verse 31 says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you or added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about what? Tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I want you to notice that three times, Jesus said, do not worry. Three times he said, do not worry. Do you think we need to listen when he tells you something three times? Do you think we need to listen? The word worry means to strangle or choke. That is exactly what worry does. It's kind of a mental and emotional strangulation, which might cause mental and physical afflictions more so than any other single thing. And worry might be the sin that Christians commit more frequently than any other sin. Oh, you say, well, you know, you may walk around being a little pious and say, well, you know what? I don't go into honky-tonks, whatever that is. I don't go into beer joints. I don't do this. I don't curse. I don't do these things, Sister Holy Mo. But let me tell you, if you worry, it's a sin. Because Jesus told us three times, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. So you may be feeling all self-righteous about yourself, but if you're worrying, it's wrong. Worry causes you to take your eyes off of Jesus. People in Jesus' day worried about the necessities of life, such as food and drink and clothing. We in the Western world, we worry about other things such as terrorism, losing our jobs, our children's safety, etc. But Jesus' words applies to us, to our worries as well. When you worry, you stop trusting God and you start trying to take control of your own life. But God's word promises, according to Philippians 4:19, God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we forget that God is not only in control of our lives. Now get a hold of this. Listen to this. He's also in control of the entire universe. He controls the universe. He tells the oceans how far they can go. He gives them boundaries. The sun and the moon and the stars are hanging there by the spoken word of God right now. Everything that goes on to this universe, including a little sparrow falling from the sky, God knows. He is in total control of what's going on in the entire universe. Psalms 24:1, the psalmist declared, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. If God can handle every single thing in this world, can he handle everything in your life? Oh, that should have been a bigger amen than that. If he can, hallelujah, if he can tell the sun when to shine, if he can tell the moon when to shine, if he can tell the ocean stop right there, if he can do all that, can he take care of you? Yes. Absolutely. Can he take care of those heathen children of yours? Can he take care of your debt problem? And if you're sick, can God take care of that? I want to share a little testimony, and just trust me when I tell you I give God all the praise and all the glory for this. But one of my relatives called me, and I shared this a little bit on Wednesday night, but I've heard more about it since then. I had someone call me several weeks ago. They just had come off of vacation, and this is a born-again, spirit-filled Christian and loves the Lord. And they said to me, Sandy, there's a mole on me, and it looks really bad. It's turning black, and it's got edges to it. and I'm going to go to the skin doctor. I'm going to make an appointment. And I said, really? I said, you're not going to curse it first? I said, what you need to do is curse that thing at the root, call it plucked up at the root, and cast it to the sea, and it shall obey you. And they said, okay, you know, nothing wrong with going to the doctor. But first, before you go to the doctor, obey God, do the word. What the word says, do what the word says. So Luke 17, verses 5 and 6 says, say unto that sycamine tree, be you plucked up at the root, be you cast into the sea, and you shall obey me in the name of Jesus. So she did it. She called me up. She said, it is all gone. You can't even tell where it was. You can't even tell it was ever there. That's the kind of God we serve. That's who he is. He is still Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. It's as if Jesus said in these verses that we just read, have you forgotten who your father is? If God feeds the birds of the air and clothes the flowers of the fields, will he not provide for you? He is not their father. He created birds and flowers. He's your father. He cares about you much, much more than he cares about birds or flowers, and he will provide for you. We were talking a couple of Wednesday nights ago about this, and I'm telling you, I'm still chewing on this. So my Wednesday night class, back me up here. All right. They are such a great bunch. If you're not coming on Wednesday night, the youth group, look at them. Man, I love this bunch. And the children's group is thumping too, and I tell you what, we have a great time in here. You need to come out on Wednesday night. Let me just stop right here and just meddle a little bit. You just come on home from work, get your dinner. We don't start to 7. If you wanted to go anywhere else at 7 o'clock, you go. All right, let me see. Right on down there. First of all, let me ask all of you parents a question. Have your kids done everything right this week? Have they cleaned their rooms without grumbling? Have they done all their chores? And most of all, have they kept a really nice attitude? Oh, they're squirming. Anybody? All you parents. Have they been perfect kids all week? No. So, and I know it's no because we're human. We're all human. If you have answered no to any of the above questions, then my next question is, did you tell them, you know what? You didn't take the garbage out when I told you the first 55 times? You're no longer part of the family. You're no longer. No, Beverly did not do that. She did not do it. Normally, we don't tell our kids, you are no longer, you know, a hamby. You're no longer a shiflet. You're no longer a shabri. You're no longer, you can no longer use the Adam's name. Never again. You're not part of the family. You're dead to me. Have you ever done that to your child? I hope not. We allow them to sit at our table even when they mess up. We still call them son or daughter even when they mess up. Is that true? We still tell them we love them. What I'm trying to bring out here is that even as we as humans love our children no matter what, even when they act goofy and rude, you expect them to learn from their mistakes as you point them out to them, but you don't cut them out of the family. How much more will God love and take care of you even when you're not perfect? And yes, if you've committed a sin, repent. Go and repent. Stop right there and repent. Say, God, I messed up. I said something I shouldn't have said. I confess this to you, and according to 1 John 1 and 9, I repent, and according to this scripture, you will forgive me, and I receive that forgiveness. And then you make every attempt not to do that thing again. But let me just tell you, you're still in the family. You're in the family. Ah, he said, I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. He even went as far as to say, now get a hold of this, John 17, 23. Is that scripture ready? John 17, 23 says, I and them, this is Jesus talking here, I and them, you and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Oh, my goodness. that right there is saying that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. First, hallelujah. The first time I read that, I couldn't hardly wrap my mind around that because I grew up in a lot of legalism where God was always out to get me. I'm just being truthful with you. I grew up with a lot of people saying, if you do this, then you're cut off. If you do this, God's not going to love you. No, if you do this, I want to tell you this morning, you are in the family. And God said, I love you as much as I love Jesus. And hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at that. He says, you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. If do you know how much he loves Jesus? If he loves Jesus that much, he loves you. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I don't think we hear this enough. People from outside, from the world and everything, they're always telling you what you're not. I'm here to tell you this morning who you are. You're a child of the Most High God, and Jesus loves you, and God loves you as much as he does Jesus. Whew. So when Satan comes to tempt you to fret and to worry, you need to remind him you're in the family. Because when you ask Jesus Christ in your heart and life, he has made you the righteousness of God, which means you are in right standing with God. And that gives us the privilege of calling him Abba, Father, which means Papa, which is an enduring term. Which when I was small, I called my father Dad or Daddy. And this is the same thing. It would be. There's actually times, some of you may think this is whack. I don't care. But there's times when I talk to God and I call him Daddy God. I just say Papa God, Daddy God, because he is my father. And I have to get that in my mind. He is not against me. He is for me. And when I make a mistake, he tells me. He corrects me. He'll wake me up sometimes and say, don't do that again. All right, got it. You know, and yes, we need to obey him, but we need to love him. But yet at the same time, I need to tell you he loves you. Family members have rights in their own homes, but not in other people's homes. There was a group of kids came to my house a couple of days ago, last week, came to the door wanting to sell me some stuff for their school. Now, what if I'd opened up the door and they just walked on in and sat down on my couch and started watching my big screen TV and eating my food and put their feet up on my table? I would have been like saying, hello, you're in the wrong house. I'm nice, but I'm not that nice. Get out. On the other hand, if I opened up the door and my grandson David came strolling in the door and he walked in and ransacked my kitchen and sat down and put his feet up on the table and started watching my TV and said, Mama, what's for dinner? I'd say, whatever you want, baby boy. Whatever you want. If David even picked up one of my Pepsis and drank it. He's in the family. He got into my stash. He was with me yesterday. We went home. He got into my stash of my peanut butter cups. He got into my stash. I came down. All I found was wrappers and an empty bag. I never said a word. You know why? First of all, he's going home, being that hyper. Second of all, he's in the family. He's in the family. He's in my family. And whatever's mine is his. Well, child of God, I have good news for you this morning. If you have asked Jesus into your heart and life, then you are in the family. But not just any family. We're talking about God's family. He even went as far as to say in Hebrews 4:16, he even went as far as to say, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Why? Because you're in the family. That's not for sinners. He never told sinners come boldly to the throne of grace. He's telling that to the righteous. He's telling that to the Christians. He's telling that to the believers. He's saying, come on boldly to the throne of grace. I've mentioned this before, but I want to repeat this. In other words, what he is saying, come on through the pearly gates. Come on past the the crystal sea. Come on past the four and the 20 elders. Come on past all these angels. Come on past all of that. Come on down the streets of gold. Come on down to the throne of grace and prayer. And whatever you need, I got it. I got it. James 4 and 2 says, you have not because you ask not. And forgive me for talking about grandkids, but this is the only way I can relate. My grandchildren have no problem asking me for chocolate Pop-Tarts and root beer. Don't even ask me about that. But, you know, chocolate Pop-Tarts and root beer. Can we have it, Mama? Absolutely. If I've got it, you got it. They also don't have any problem letting me know that they want to go to Taco Bell for dinner. They know if they say to me, Mama, I'm feeling like a taco, all right, get shoes on, let's go. Because they are mine. They are my children. If I would do that, those kind of things for my grandchildren, how much more? How much? And see, sometimes we get this idea, well, God will only, like, pay our electric bill. God will only help me pay my mortgage. God will only help me with these big things. He said he'll give you the desires of your heart. I believe that if you prayed and you wanted chocolate Pop-Tarts, he'd find a way to give them to you. And you are in God's family. The one who created the universe and all the galaxies, you're in his family. Let me ask you, parents, another question. If your child comes home from school tomorrow and says, Mom or Dad, I'm going to need $5, just $5, next Tuesday, not even this week, next week, for a field trip to my school. And for my school, and you say, you're thinking to yourself, $5, well, that's nothing. I can do that easy. And you say, don't worry, got it, I got it. Don't even worry about it, got it. Now, a few days later, you see them coming through the house, wringing their hands, and they've got this worried look, and their eyebrows are all raised up. And you say, what's wrong with you, boy? And he says, I'm worried that you won't come through for me for that $5. How insulted would you be? You would say, I told you I had it. I told you not to worry. I told you, easy breezy, I got it. But you're worried about $5? Jesus said to us three times, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. We got to quit worrying about things. The Bible says to cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares about everything about you. If you need a new pair of socks, he can get them for you. Whatever it is you need, or if you need money to pay your mortgage, God can bring it in. As I said before, if he's got to get birds and drop it off in your backyard, he will do it. Let your dog loose. Maybe he'll go out and get something and bring it back. I don't know, but I'm just telling you, God will get it to you. I believe that he is saying here, don't worry about it, because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will not be taken away from you, will be added to you. And I believe it thrills the heart of God when we look up in the middle of our concerns and just say, I trust you. I'm going to tell you, I had an episode myself not too long ago, hanging around with some friends, and they brought up some things that all of a sudden I just started kind of getting very upset and crying, and I'm like, a little scared, you know. And if I remember right, I was driving home in the car and tears rolling down my face, and I thought, I've got choices. I can either give in to this mess and be pitiful, or I can be powerful, and I can look up to God and say, I trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way, but I trust you. I trust you. And I believe that thrills the heart of God when it seems like you are being bombarded all around and it doesn't seem like there's a way out, and you look up and say, I trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. That's none of my business, but I believe you'll do it. Do you know that you can wear yourself to death, but you cannot wear yourself to life? Dr. Charles Mayo of the famous Mayo Clinic wrote, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the gland, and the whole nervous system. I have never met a man or known of a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot who died of worry. So what does worry reveal about you? Worry reveals that you do not fully trust God's promises. And I said something about this last week, but I want to repeat it. You believe that God can save you from sin and take you to heaven and keep you there for all eternity. So how can you not believe that God will take care of you for the rest of your days here on earth? You're trusting him that 50 billion years from now, you're going to be in heaven and he's going to take care of you. The Bible says that, you know, we're promised, the oldest person I know is like, what, at the most, 120 at the most. So we can trust him for a billion years, but we can't trust him for 120 years, right? You trust him to save you. You trust him that when you die, he'll take you to heaven, but we can't trust him for 120 years. Verses 31 and 32, I want to repeat, says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans, those are unbelievers, they run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus says that when we worry, we are no different than unbelievers. They don't know any better because they're not in the family. They don't have a heavenly Father, so they have reason to worry. We have no excuse, though, for worrying. We know we have a Father who loves us and is always taking care of us because we're in the family. Sometimes we act too much like unbelievers. Too often we think like the world. We will worry like the world. But I'm going to tell you something. God expects more from you and me. He expects more from us. God expects us to be different from unbelievers. He expects us to believe him because that's what believers do. They believe. Believers believe. What do they believe? They believe God. They believe that he will take care of them. They believe he'll heal them. They believe that when their family is in sin, he'll save them. They believe that when they're sick, he'll heal them. They believe. They believe the word of God. They believe God. Sinners do not believe. So when you start doubting God and saying, I don't know if it's going to come through for me or not, then you need to check your life. I'll be honest with you. If you got sin in your life, you need to repent. And if you're okay and you don't have sin in your life, then you need to get the word of God down. You need to start saying, this is what God says. He said he'll supply all my need. I'm coming into agreement with him. And I'm not going to be moved by what I hear. I'm not going to be moved by what I feel or what I see. I'm going to be moved by what thus saith the word of God. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about, well, what does that cover? Everything. Do not be anxious about anything. So what do? We're not allowed to be anxious. We're not allowed to worry about anything. Some people are chronic worriers. That's all they know to do. So we're not allowed. I'm telling you this morning, from this day forward, you are not allowed to worry. So what are you going to do? Good. I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. But in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding or transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I want to end this message today by saying what I believe the Lord spoke into my heart the other night. Don't borrow from tomorrow. I believe that we just need to live and enjoy today, because we're not promised tomorrow. Too many people are already living tomorrow. They're already thinking about, well, what am I going to do at school tomorrow? When I see that chick, I want to just tell her, you know. Or when you go to work, you know, and you say, when I see my boss, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You're already into tomorrow. You can't do that. You can't borrow from tomorrow because you're not there yet. You are here today. And if you're going to be with your family today, I challenge you to enjoy them. Look at them when you talk to them. Treat them like human beings. Treat them like you would treat somebody else. I shouldn't have to say that, but we have a tendency to be, and I've said it before, we're so nice to people. You know, like at Walmart, somebody bumps your cart and goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And you're like, "Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'm okay. I'm all right, really." You go, if that had been one of your kids or your family members bumped you at home, what's the matter? You got two eyes. Get out of my way. And like I said before, you know, somebody says, you know, you're on the couch and you're both sitting on the couch and you get up and you say, "Man, I've been thinking about that ice cream. I'm going to go get me a little bowl of ice cream." And they say, "Yeah, hey, will you get me some? Your leg's broke. Your leg's broke." Okay, moving right along. But I'm just telling you, enjoy the people you're with. Every day, enjoy them. Look at them. Look at them in the face. Talk to them. Be nice to them. They're the people you love. They're the people you live with. There's a story about a 95-year-old woman. I don't know. I thought it was funny. She's at a nursing home, and she received a visit from one of her fellow church members. And the visitor goes, "How are you feeling?" "Oh," said the lady, "I'm just worried sick." "Oh, well, what are you worried about, dear?" her friend asked. "Well, you look rather well and healthy today. Are they taking good care of you in this place?" "Oh, yes, they're taking very good care of me." "Well, are you in any pain?" "No, no pain at all." "Well, then, what are you worried about?" The lady leaned back. She's 95 years old. She leans back in a rocking chair. She sighs a big, heavy sigh, then slowly explains her major worry. "Every close friend I have ever had has already died and gone to heaven, and I'm afraid they're wondering where I went." Someone said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You can rock 50 miles on a rocking chair and still be sitting in your living room. Isn't that true? I would encourage you this week to remember that Jesus told you three times what? Say it again. Say it one more time. Three times the King of Kings said, "Don't worry." Three times the Son of Almighty God said, "Don't worry." One of the best ways, and I'm closing with this, one of the best ways to get rid of worry is praise. I tell you, you may feel like, say, "I don't feel like praising. It's blue, it's dark outside. It's overcast, and I don't feel..." I tell you what, go get you some thumping music and put it on. Get you some Eddie James or something. I listen to that Lion of Judah. I listen to that sometimes, or I Am or something like that. And if whatever's on me lifts off. And get you some music. Get the Word of God. Read the Bible and just start praising God. Start praising God, because especially in the nighttime hours, because Satan didn't come to wake you up to hear you praise God. He did not come for that. I want everybody to stand. And let me just say this real quick. Happy birthday, Heidi. Haiti, I'm sorry. I always get that wrong. Haiti, happy birthday. It's today, right? Yeah. I want everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. No moving around right now. I don't know if there's anyone here this morning, but I never want to miss this opportunity. Is there anyone here this morning and you do not know the Lord as personal Savior? You've never asked him into your life, or maybe you have and you've kind of drifted away. You've been worried. Maybe you've just been, you know, all wound up with it. If you would like to ask the Lord into your heart and life this morning, please raise your hand. I would love to pray for you. I would love to introduce you to the Lord. Anyone at all this morning? And now I would like to ask, has anybody in this church, I've asked it before, I want to ask it again, have you worried this week? Everybody, just right where you're standing, just raise your hand. Everybody's hand should probably go up, just to give you a clue. All right, including myself. So this morning, I want us to pray. I'm going to pray over you right where you stand, and we're going to believe God this week. How many of you will say, I'm going to believe God this week? I'm going to not, I'm going to, every time worry comes against me, I'm going to catch it for what it is, cast it down, and I'm going to start praising God, and I'm going to look up and just say, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. Father, right now I come to you, mighty God, in the name of your son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Jesus. I love this scripture, Lord, where you said three times, you, the Son of God, said three times in one portion of scripture, don't worry, do not worry, do not worry. And I believe you said that, God, because you're saying to us, I've got it. I'll take care of you. I'll supply your need. I'll love you when nobody loves you because you're in the family. And Lord, right now, I pray, God, that you would put, hallelujah. Lord, I ask you this morning to put a hedge around this church, around everyone from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, that we would, that you would surround us this week with your truth and with your love like we have never known. And I thank you for your favor. I ask you, God, that your favor would walk in front of us everywhere we need it. And Lord, I ask you to give us the strength and help us to realize that you are our Father and we are in the family and we don't have to worry because Jesus doesn't like it. And Lord, I ask you to give us the courage and the strength to hold up our heads and say, I trust you. And Lord, because you have always met our needs. You have never failed us. The word says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging bread. And I thank you, Lord, that you're not going to start with us. And I give you all the praise. And I ask your blessings upon this church. And I ask you, Lord, to expand our borders in this church. And I give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.